WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The government shutdown is now 3 weeks in. Democrats digging in on their demand that Republicans repeal Medicaid cuts and extend health care subsidies that will soon expire. President Trump says he won't meet with Democrats until they first reopen the government. President Trump is the plaintiff and the defendant, suing his own Justice Department for over $200 million, seeking damages for past investigations, including the Russian election interference and classified documents cases.
Yeah, they probably owe me a lot of money. But if I get money from our country, I'll do something nice with it, like give it to charity or give it to the White House while we restore the White House.
The wrecking crew isn't just tearing down part of the White House East Wing. The Washington Post reporting that a White House official said the entirety of the East Wing would eventually be rebuilt. The Trump administration planning a 90,000 square foot ballroom in its place, larger than the White House itself. This is ABC News. Authorities are investigating an incident in Los Angeles that led to the shooting of a person immigration authorities say was trying to avoid arrest. More from ABC's Luke Barr.
This happened earlier today when immigration agents from ICE and with the assist of the U.S. Marshals were conducting a targeted enforcement operation. They pulled somebody over who they believed was in the country illegally, had a criminal record. That person, according to a DHS official I spoke with, attempted to evade arrest. Officers then used a pit maneuver to pull him over. They fired defensive shots. The migrant was hit in the elbow.
A federal agent was also shot, both are recovering in the hospital. A mass in Havana Tuesday celebrated the centennial of late Cuban music star Celia Cruz. Cuban authorities were accused of censorship after canceling a theater performance commemorating Cruz, who left Cuba in 1960 and was a vocal critic of the Castro regime. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Madison, Wisconsin. Students, government, lakes, and 92.7 WMDX.
The Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers play the Steelers this week on Sunday night. Matt LaFleur asked about running back Josh Jacobs demanding to get back in the game against the Cardinals Sunday despite a strained calf muscle.
Yeah, he's a grown man. There's no doubt about it. What he says is always backed up by his actions, and I think that's number one on top of the list of what you need to be in order to be a great leader.
Baseball, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 4-3. To advance to the World Series, Game 1 will be Friday night in Toronto against the Dodgers. Doc Rivers was asked if he still goes golfing with his friend, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
We plan on golf a lot. We never actually get to do it much. But the Brewers, they had an amazing year. And if you're going to lose, you lose to the most historic game in Major League history. And that's how they lost.
That's the Bucks, Doc Rivers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 92.7 WMDX.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and breezy for tonight with occasional showers and a low close to 40. We'll look for more clouds for tomorrow, a pop-up shower or two possible, and still breezy, a high in the upper 40s. A return to sunshine for Thursday and Friday, a high in the low 50s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Governor Evers has sounded the alarm. 700,000 Wisconsinites might lose emergency food assistance. We discuss with Amanda Martinez and William Park Sutherland of Kids Forward. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
92.7 WMDX. Like a podcast, but lazier.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about DEI hiring mistakes.
Oh, boy.
This is what happens when you don't hire people who are actually qualified for the job and just got hired because of their loyalty to one person. But anyway, that's coming up in just a little bit. We wanted to start off, though, talking about beef producers in the United States. Now, the president of the United States says he will import Argentine beef in order to help out consumers because beef prices are so high. Of course, importing beef from another country will not be helping American beef producers. That's kind of a little sticking point there.
That's what I thought. Like when they said, oh, if we import beef, that'll drive the prices down
that'll make it cheaper for consumers. But again, that this doesn't help our beef producers at all.
And guess what happened to Wall Street when the president said this?
Did it respond really well?
Oh, like it always does. Like when he renounced, well, actually, in the early days when he would announce tariffs. Now they're used to tariff announcements. I feel like Wall Street doesn't anything. Beef announcement did some work on Wall Street.
Yeah, it definitely did. We do have a clip that we played last week.
Yes.
Actually, when the president was asked about not only are we giving Argentina $40 billion now, remember, we can't help pay for anybody's ACA subsidies.
Not at all.
We don't have money for that. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow. Ron Johnson, Wisconsin senior senator, talking this morning on Fox, of course, because he's never in Wisconsin, talking about he doesn't think it's that big of a deal. If the ACA subsidies go away, it's not going to.
No.
It's going to be fine.
Isn't everyone rich like me?
Right. It's going to be just fine. So, Calvin, let's play that clip, please. When Donald Trump was asked last week about the bailout we're giving to Argentina, please.
What do you have to say to U.S. farmers who feel that the deal is benefiting Argentina more than it is them,
Argentina's fighting for its life.
What?
Young lady, you don't know anything about it.
What?
They're fighting for their life. Nothing's benefiting Argentina. They're fighting for their life. You understand what that means? They have no money. They have no anything. They're fighting so hard to survive.
Oh.
If I can help them survive in a free world, I happen to like the president of Argentina.
Uh-huh.
I think he's trying
there
to do
is.
The best he can. But don't make it sound like they're doing great. They are dying.
Dying.
All right? They're dying.
Dying. We got to help Argentina, man. America first, but Argentina first.
No, Argentina first. They're getting our money for prisons, right?
I believe so.
They are getting $40 billion, right?
Yes.
They have taken up the soybean markets that we have lost, right?
Well, here's what Argentina did about that. They cut their tariffs.
Yes.
So China could buy them cheaper from Argentina.
Yes.
And not have to buy them from the U.S. Not only are we giving them billions of dollars, we are helping them sell their soybeans to China while our farmers are not selling their soybeans.
This sounds like two things to me. In business, we call this a franchise. In government, this sounds like socialism.
Doesn't it?
We're just, you know, giving them all the stuff. And this is crazy. They're dying and they're, guess what? We're not doing great either.
Well, but he likes the president. We have to help his friend.
You're right. When will he start liking us?
Well, he'll get around to that. According to the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Colin Woodall, says this plan only creates chaos at a critical time of the year for American cattle producers while doing nothing to lower grocery store prices.
Yes. Yeah.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to join us. The last thing we need is to reward Argentina by importing more of their beef, says the president of the National Farmers Union.
Yeah, this is, and speaking of farmers, I've reached out to someone to come on the show, Hans Breitenmoser, because he's a dairy farmer, but also he does beef as well, to come on the show and break this down in terms that we can understand coming from a farmer. So we want to get an expert's opinion on this, but this just, every time I read it, I feel like I'm missing something in my brain that makes it make sense to somebody. Everything about this, the way they're making it sound like it's a fix, it's amazing, it's awesome. But really what it's doing, it's just giving another country more of our stuff.
And undercutting more of our producers.
Yes.
U.S. feeder cattle futures tumbled on Friday. When Trump first mentioned he was working on a deal to lower prices, they hit their lowest level in more than a week on Monday.
Yeah.
Before ending nearly unchanged. 78-year-old Jan McDonald of Montana says she plans to take calves to an auction this weekend, and she's worried that this will hurt prices. About the president, she says, I don't know where he's coming from. It makes me very nervous about the future.
We shouldn't worry, though, Jane. Because Secretary of Agriculture,
Brooke Rollins,
went on CNBC and talked about how all of this is fine. Don't worry about falling prices. Don't worry about Wall Street. Don't worry about any of that stuff. All of this is part of a plan that we'll get to soon.
We have a clip from Ms. Rollins, a clip
from her talking about this problem at hand.
Calvin, can you play that clip, please?
What happened to beef prices? How do we bring them down?
We have had a massive run on beef over the last decade. We've had almost 17% of our producers close, which is about our ranchers, which is about 150,000 ranchers have now stopped ranching. It's a whole other show. We need to describe that. But basically, there's been a massive consolidation, which has not been good for our ranching industry.
That's bad.
We have, you know, offshored a lot of that to some companies in Brazil and some other internationally. China owns some other companies. There's a really important realignment that has to happen for us to begin to onshore. When we talk about onshoring and reshoring for manufacturing, we need to onshore and reshore for our beef producers, for our ranchers. So the prices are high. The president is very focused on fulfilling his promise of bringing grocery prices down.
By doing what?
But he's also very focused, and you'll hear more from us perhaps in the next day or two, on what we are going
to do
incentivize to open up new lands, to make it easier to become a rancher, to build more processing plants around the country so there aren't just a handful in the middle of the country. We've got a pretty big package coming out. I haven't talked about it publicly. This is the first time.
We've lost a bunch of ranchers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the ones who are around now are struggling.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to make it so that there can be more of them, thus diluting the current competition.
Right.
So no one still makes money. And also, who wakes up one day and goes, honey, you know what I've always wanted to do? I'm going to take off this tie. I'm throwing away the sports car. I want to raise beef cattle because that's what I was born to do. By the by, Before becoming a lawyer, before serving as the deputy general counsel and ethics advisor, go figure, and policy director for Rick Perry, Brooke Rollins was born and raised on a farm.
Oh, so she knows.
She knows this life.
She actually knows.
So I would like to know what that family dinner is like every Christmas and Thanksgiving, because she is coming from that world, and she is currently playing a hand in systematically destroying it.
Well, but you're assuming that she can't divert certain monies to certain peoples.
Fair.
I think that that's something that to keep into consideration.
Absolutely.
855-752-4842. If you would like to join us, he's talking about Argentina. And boy, we're really worried about Argentina.
Yeah.
We're really, really concerned about their well-being. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. What do you want to say?
As usual with this guy, the reporter says to him, farmers are being hurt by this. And he says, you don't know what you're talking about, yep. Young lady.
Yep.
You know, she's a woman. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yep.
And it's just typical of this guy. It's first thing I heard when I heard this quote a day or two ago,
mm-hmm.
Whenever it was how he attacks her. Immediately.
And he's done that to, especially to female reporters, Troy, since his first go around.
Yeah.
The way he treated Yamiche Alcindor,
yeah,
was appalling.
Well, and now
just appalling.
And now he has a press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, who just does the exact same. She is like one of the most horrific human beings ever. She has no shame, no class, decorum, professional attitude. She is just a younger female version of him.
Well, did you see, Droy, did you see how she responded? Someone asked her why they decided to meet in Hungary.
Yeah.
President Trump is going to be going to Hungary. And she was asked why, who decided on Hungary as the place, and she said, your mom.
Yeah.
That was her intelligent adult response.
Yeah.
Your mom. Isn't that amazing?
It's awful.
Can you imagine Jen Psaki doing that?
Oh,
no.
No.
No. She would have been walked out of the building almost immediately. Even if it was the funniest of jokes, it would not have gone well. The news media would have lost their minds on both sides because they got to hedge their bets.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is ridiculous. This is so infuriating because we talk about farmers all the time. But by the way, still no farm bill. Look at you, Derek Van Orden.
Yeah.
He's too busy giving the president the gold medal of freedom or something. It's absolutely, I don't know what else to say. Like, supporters of Donald Trump. Okay. Well, now we've talked about him destroying the White House, and now he is further undercutting our farmers. Tell me how this is winning. Tell me how this makes America great ever. Period.
It's 5D chess.
Well,
we just don't see, we just can't see the brilliance that is his mind,
yeah.
Greg.
Tony on the live stream says, it's fine if you just stop thinking and talking about
it. Well, there's that. Jim from Appleton also says, Argentina, America, they both start with A. Maybe he's just confused.
And by the way, I know that, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, is what he said to that reporter. Because White House correspondent jobs are just so easy to come by. It's like intern, White House correspondent. That's it. Just, you know, she knows nothing.
Well, if you're working for OAN or Newsmax,
hey-o!
That'll probably get you in there. when we return.
Oh, boy, we need this.
We're going to talk more about all the best people and, yes, the qualifications of the people surrounding the president. It's so impressive.
It's about knowing those little details, Jane.
It's about knowing the job.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Knowing the job.
Exactly.
We'll take a look at that. DEI hires, you say?
Yeah.
Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the vast.
Whoa.
Statewide.
Yeah.
Countrywide.
Really?
You can even pick us up. We had a listener text from the Philippines.
That was amazing, by the way. Thank you so much.
On the Civic Media Radio app. Stay close. We'll be right back.
She takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
92.7 WMDX, talk radio that actually talks to you.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I've seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream, good morning, live stream.
Hey, live stream.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And just a reminder, sign up for Civic Media today.
Mm-hmm. Today.
Daily newsletter comes right to your email. And it's completely free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a great compilation of all the things that we are covering all across the network. We have reporters all over the state.
Yes, we do.
Sports.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to talk about that. But yeah, yes, Civic Media Today. Subscribe.
Yeah.
It's free. It's really great. And it's a lot of work for our news department, too. Yeah. It really is.
It also gives a good roundup of all the shows happening, whether it's the podcast, whether it's the nightly shows, whether it's the network shows.
Little snippets.
It gives you a nice roundup of everything happening on that day. And it's like we said, it's free. It's easy. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. And you can sign up right there. Very simple, very easy. And welcome to all the people who have done that. It's really very popular. So yeah, we're really excited about that. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you for subscribing. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I do think it's worth sharing. Lindsay Halligan is probably not a name that you're very familiar with.
Yeah.
Lindsay Halligan, a former beauty queen.
Oh.
Who is an attorney.
Oh.
But never tried an actual case. So she has no courtroom experience.
None.
Zippo. She's a very pretty woman.
Okay.
But she has no courtroom experience. She's the one who's been put in charge of handling the case against Jim Comey.
Oh, I thought isn't she also in charge of the other case too for the New York
Letitia James.
Letitia James. Letitia James. She was also, after 5 months of digging, found nothing on that one.
Zippo.
Yeah.
She was an insurance lawyer.
Well, you know.
The former insurance lawyer got into a little problem when she was texting back and forth with a reporter.
Oh, boy.
See, this is kind of the problem when you hire people just based on their loyalty to you.
Yeah.
And not necessarily their competency for the job. The former insurance lawyer who Trump appointed as the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia reached out to a senior editor at Lawfare, which is a publication.
Mm-hmm.
The topic was coverage about the prosecution of Letitia James.
Mm-hmm.
James is accused of misrepresenting a second property. We're not going to get too far into that. But anyway, Halligan reached out to this reporter.
Yes.
And did not say anything that said this conversation is off the record.
Which is something, if you're speaking to a reporter,
if you don't want it on the record, you have to say that.
Up front.
Yes.
Up front, you have to say that.
You cannot have a whole conversation mm-hmm. and at the end of the conversation say, by the way, that was off the record. It's not how it works.
No, but our friend
Lindsay Halligan did not preface her comments with anything suggesting she wasn't on the record. Oops. She texted this reporter, by the way, everything I sent you is off the record.
Mm.
You're not a journalist, so it's weird saying that, but just letting you know. The senior editor at Lawfare responded, I'm sorry, but that's not how this works.
Oh.
You don't get to say that in retrospect. Halligan replies, yes, I do. Your mom. Off the record.
Also,
I am really sorry. Yeah. I would have been happy to speak with you on an off-the-record basis had you asked, said this person from Lawfare, but you didn't ask. And I still have not agreed to speak to you on that basis. Do you have any further comment for the story? Halligan said it was obvious the conversation was off the record. There's disappearing messages. It's on Signal. What's your story? You never told me about a story. At which point, the woman from Lawfare published it.
Also, it's not a guarantee, but I'm going to guess that most senior editors working for publications are journalists. They're working with journalists. To say you're not even a journalist when she said that, you're not even a journalist. I don't know why I'm
talking. You're a senior editor for a publication. You are a journalist.
You have to afford that same common courtesy and matter of protocol to anyone working for a publication. You have to say this is off the record from the top.
From the top.
And also this Signal app is just bonkers. I never heard of it until the Pete Hegseth incident. The scandal we thought would be the end of him, by the way, it wasn't. It's like all these comedians last year who found out Snapchat pictures can actually be saved and not just go away. And they're like, oh no, what did do? This is bonkers. But hey, she's a beauty queen. President Trump probably thinks she's pretty and she's loyal.
She is pretty.
So there you go.
A pretty woman.
So she has nothing to worry about.
That's not qualified.
No, Jane, when has that ever been a matter of fact here?
Little issue there.
Yeah.
The reporter, senior editor at Lawfare says, I would have been happy to speak with her off the record had she suggested it, but she didn't do that.
It's not.
So I was very surprised when she suddenly suggested things were off the record when they were in fact not.
It's not the reporter's job to also say, is this on or off the record? I mean, I'm sure they will if it's the right person. But when it's this person, no, you don't have to do anything. It's your responsibility. Personal responsibility.
Oh, but that's not in this administration.
Not at all.
You got to blame somebody else.
While you're tearing down part of the White House.
There's someone else to blame.
Exactly.
News is coming up next, and then we'll lighten it up when we come back with Audio Sorbet. How do you chore?
Yeah.
That's the question. 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I've seen all good people turn their head to stay so silent.
92.7 WMDX. Warning, may cause smarter dinner conversations.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The government shutdown is now 3 weeks in. Democrats digging in on their demand that Republicans repeal Medicaid cuts and extend health care subsidies that will soon expire. President Trump says he won't meet with Democrats until they first reopen the government. President Trump is the plaintiff and the defendant, suing his own Justice Department for over $200 million, seeking damages for past investigations, including the Russian election interference and classified documents cases.
Yeah, they probably owe me a lot of money, but if I get money from our country, I'll do something nice with it, like give it to charity or give it to the White House while we restore the White House.
The wrecking crew isn't just tearing down part of the White House East Wing. The Washington Post reporting that a White House official said the entirety of the East Wing would eventually be rebuilt. The Trump administration planning a 90,000 square foot ballroom in its place, larger than the White House itself. This is ABC News.
The Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers play the Steelers this week on Sunday night. Matt LaFleur asked about running back Josh Jacobs demanding to get back in the game against the Cardinals Sunday despite a strained calf muscle.
Yeah, he's a grown man. There's no doubt about it. What he says is always backed up by his actions, and I think that's number one on top of the list of what you need to be in order to be a great leader.
Baseball, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 4-3. To advance to the World Series, Game 1 will be Friday night in Toronto against the Dodgers. Doc Rivers was asked if he still goes golfing with his friend, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
We plan on golf a lot. We never actually get to do it much. But the Brewers, they had an amazing year. And if you're going to lose, you lose to the most historic game in Major League history. And that's how they lost.
That's the Bucks, Doc Rivers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Michael Fassbender will play Joe Kennedy in a new Netflix show from Chernin Entertainment. According to Variety, the show is called Kennedy and will be based on Frederick Longfellow's book, JFK, Coming of Age in the American Century. The logline for the show is a bit lengthy, but says it will reveal the intimate lives, loves, rivalries, and tragedies that shaped the most iconic dynasty in modern history and helped create the world we live in today. Beginning in the 1930s, the first season charts the improbable ascent of Joe and Rose Kennedy and their nine children, including rebellious son Jack, who struggles to escape the shadow of his golden boy older brother. Whew, it was a mouthful. The Kennedys have provided, along with a lot of tragedy, a lot of fascination from Americans. There will be 8 episodes in the first season. The series will most likely drop in 2027. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and breezy for tonight with occasional showers and a low close to 40. We'll look for more clouds for tomorrow, a pop-up shower or two possible, and still breezy, a high in the upper 40s. A return to sunshine for Thursday and Friday, a high in the low 50s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
The John and Gordy Show.
And then they settle for lower tariffs, but still high tariffs, and everybody's going, oh, what a relief. No, it wasn't a relief. It was a distraction. It was a con.
We have Matt on the phone.
MAGA's a big cop-out. It's all smoke and mirrors because they know they can't compete with China. So instead of trying to invest and compete, we're just going to make most of the Americans poor and impoverished. We're going to go back to slavery.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome No Packers, No Life director Craig Benzine and Northeast Wisconsin native son and the writer-director of a movie currently in theaters called The Twits, Phil Johnston. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content
morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, our one, our only, Cal Zone on the board, coming to you from our studio and Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will end the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Buzz Off edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, is the portion of the show we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath, get away from the news, so we can have some fun.
Yeah.
Just for a little bit.
Yeah.
So today's question for you is, how do you chore?
Yeah.
How do you attack chores?
Mm-hmm.
855-752-4842. Talking about this before the show.
Yep.
You did some garaging.
I'm currently working on a project in my garage of just basically, you know, we moved into the house about 3 years ago, and when we first got there, the garage was nice and perfect and functional, and over time, it's that thing of,
let's put this here.
Things start to go here, and then you say, well, we don't have to park the car here right now. We can put it right here. It's summertime. It's fine. And then you look, and you're like, oh, there's a bunch of junk here. So what I've been doing, and I found this is very effective for me, because I have a difficult time with, if I were to say on a Sunday morning, get up at 7 a.m. and say, today I'm cleaning the garage.
The entire thing.
It would not get done. It would be me standing in front of the garage for an hour trying to figure out where to start. And then I would sort of do some things, and then I'd fade off. And then before I know it, I'm watching television.
Yeah, because I'm going to go back in the house. This is too much.
So what I'm doing now, and I started doing this yesterday, is Monday. So on Saturday, no, Friday. On Friday, I worked in there for about 2.5 hours. Started on one wall.
So like one section.
One section. Made my goal, this one wall. Take everything off the wall, clean it up, install some shelving, install some hooks, put things back. All right, done. Sat down, felt accomplished, was very sweaty. Very sweaty. And then yesterday, I did the next wall. I pulled everything off. I cleaned it up. I'm
organized.
Cleaning a fridge. Oh. I'm cleaning a fridge either today or tomorrow.
Oh, I know how you love that. I
love cleaning fridges. But that's how I personally have to see these. Like, you know, vacuuming, doing the thing, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I think I personally feel like if instead of cleaning your whole house on a Saturday, if you just tell yourself, I'm going to clean this one room today, and you do it day by day, it lessens the
without
severity.
It, absolutely.
But that's how I have to approach it, because if you tell me I have to do a huge thing at the beginning, I'm like, Let's do it later, and then later. And then I just hope that you'll either be as into ordering pizza as me or completely forget about it. But that's how I'm doing it, is little by little.
So you break it into pieces.
Yeah.
How do you chore? How do you get your chores done? Do you attack the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this weekend, I'm doing the garage.
Yes.
I'm going to reorganize the entire garage. Or are you more like Greg and you break it down into more easily digestible pieces?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. How do you approach your chores? I'm like you.
Yeah.
In that, so I started washing windows over the weekend.
Ooh.
Oh, it's so.
We tried washing windows a few months ago, and I feel like the both of us said, oh, this is harder than we expected.
It's a chore.
Yeah.
It is a chore. But instead of going, I'm going to do the entire first floor, I just did the living room.
Yeah.
I got that room done. That was 5 windows.
That's great.
Right? So I gave myself a pat on the back for that. Now this coming weekend, I will attack the dining room.
There you go.
And get around to those windows. But yeah, I like to break it down, because otherwise, and you can ask my husband, I am one of the most accomplished procrastinators on the planet.
Oh,
I'm not good at a lot of things. I'm really, really good at putting things off.
Do you ever do this, Jane? You wake up and it's so early. You're like, I don't need to do the thing now. So you have a cup of coffee. You're watching some TV. And then in your head, I'll use Saturdays. Saturdays, I know that I'm going to be in bed by 9 p.m., party animal.
Yeah.
So you say to yourself, it's 7 a.m. Oh my gosh, I have like 14 hours.
All day.
9 o'clock rolls around. Oh my gosh, it's barely, the morning's even done. 10 a.m., you know, 1 p.m., you're counting, you're like, I still can get 2-3 hours in, and then before you know it, oh, it's dark. I guess I'm going to do it tomorrow. That's how I roll with those big projects, and I'm the same way. It's like, all right, today I'm going to do this one small thing or one part of it. Like, I'm sure I will probably spend at the end of the day on this garage probably a solid 12 to 15 hours on it.
Oh, I would think so.
And that's good, because if I were doing it in one shot, I'd probably spend about 8 hours on it. And the last two, I'd be like, oh, forget it.
How do you chore? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Give us a call. Send in a text. How do you chore? Do you break it down into little more digestible, attackable bits? Or do you do I'm doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it all done.
Yeah.
Casper from Madison, listening WAUK. I just do whatever Ashley tells me to do. Happy spouse, happy house.
I love happy spouse, happy house, because I feel like it's so much better than happy wife, happy life. That just sounds condescending.
Happy spouse, happy house.
But yeah, and Bridget too. By the way, happy anniversary to Bridget.
That's happy anniversary.
It's our anniversary to 13 years. What's up, everybody?
Congratulations. Thank
you. Oh, whoa. When did we invite a studio audience? When did we get that money?
Nice.
But she's also so appreciative of every little thing I do. And it's not in like a husbandly type of way where, like, or I should say TV sitcom husband way, where I'm so shiftless and inept that anything I can get right is great. It's just that appreciation of each other. So, like, I don't crave it, but I know she's going to say thank you, and that means something to me.
It's just the acknowledgement.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. That makes a difference.
Yeah.
It's important, especially, I think, as you get on in your relationship, mm-hmm. to continue to say thank you to each other.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I really do.
I
think that's really important.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that at all. And for me personally, 13 years on, been together a little bit longer, and I still am like she was out of town last week, and I got to pick her from the airport on Saturday, and I was so giddy to see her. Because it's like, it's not just a husband and wife. We're a good hang. Like, it's fun with each other. We have a good time. And so when she shows that appreciation, which she always does, from just taking the trash out to doing this garage project, it's just good to know that, like, all right, I'm doing this for us, you know, the garage. We'll be able to park our cars. I'm getting off topic. I'm sorry. But yeah, choring is something, as I get older, I have to learn how to do it the right. Because I was always raised with today we're cleaning the house.
And we did the same thing.
And it just seems so daunting.
It really was. Yep. On Saturdays.
Yeah.
It was. You get up on Saturdays and you start cleaning.
Oh, we got cartoons. After cartoons were done,
then the cleaning begins.
The vacuum is coming out.
How do you chore? Do you break it into little bits? Do you attack the whole project at once? 855-752-4842. Brett, listening on WAUK, Greg must have OCD like me. I clean exactly the same way, and I absolutely love cleaning the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Take everything out, including the shelves.
Yep.
Nothing goes back in that's not clean, including the jars.
Oh, yeah.
You use a toothbrush.
I use toothpicks, toothbrushes, Q-tips. I use, Jane, you gotten to get in the crevices.
Apparently.
And our refrigerator in the garage is quite gross and probably should be thrown out. I'm just kidding. It's fine. It just needs to be cleaned. And I'm going to go in and I'm going to, like, we actually have a big tub in the garage right now. And mm-hmm. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some boiling water in there and just dump all the shelves and just let them sit and soak.
That's probably
because
good. With some vinegar and water in there.
Ooh,
vinegar.
Yeah.
Vinegar is a miracle.
That's a brilliant
cleaning
idea.
Product.
Yeah.
Vinegar
so
is great.
That fridge is going to get clean.
It's
going to clean.
It's going to gleam. How do you chore? 855-752-4842. Calvin, what about you?
How do you chore,
How
Calvin?
Do you chore? Do you break it down? Do you attack the whole thing at once?
So I usually am the type that I let something go until it's unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
Like laundry, it just becomes a pile until I have to take care of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it becomes the type of thing usually where I just kind of get it all done. And motivation is not something that I am gifted with. So I have to strike when the iron is hot.
When you feel the mood, you got to go with
this.
And I know I know that in-house chores are different than what we're talking with, at least for me. Like another big thing I got done finally, and you heard me complain about this so much, is I finally destroyed our play set in the backyard. I finally got rid of that. I had been whining about that for years, and I finally just, I realized something about myself. If I leave my shoes on, I have like a 70% chance of doing the thing I want to do. If it's a non-in-house chore.
Okay.
So like if I have to run errands, doing the garage, going outside to do the thing, if I leave my shoes on, I will probably get it done. I might sit for a little. Like yesterday, I didn't just walk in and start doing it. I sat down for a little bit, and then around 2 o'clock, I got up and I worked for a couple hours. But I left my shoes on, and the shoes were, for some weird reason, a motivator. And I'm like you, Calvin, in that sense, where like, especially with laundry, because even though it's not far, the laundry's way in the basement, bedroom's on the second floor, and that whole walking down some stairs just seems like the most daunting task on earth.
Just too much.
If the laundry, if I was in a one-floor house, my laundry room would be in the first floor, not in the basement, because I'd be doing laundry all the time then.
We have a laundry chute.
I grew up with one of those, too.
It's wonderful.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Pretty fast.
That would not get me to do laundry faster, though.
It doesn't. No. I just like throwing things down.
You ever just, when I was, take that, jeans.
A very satisfying sound as it goes down the chute. How do you chore? 855-752-4842. That is our audio survey question today on Matt Nair on Air, Little by Little. You break it down. You do it over a couple of weekends. Mm-hmm. Does it matter if you get up and get right to it?
Yeah.
Because I'm like you. On Saturday mornings, I'll get up. I want at least 2 cups of coffee.
Yeah.
And I want to surf for at least an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have to get moving.
Yeah.
If by an hour, hour and a half, if I continue surfing, that's where I'll be all day.
And I don't personally find value. Like, I worked for about 2.5-3 hours yesterday. And when I sat on the couch, I felt like I earned the sit.
Yeah.
I earn the rest of the night. I don't have to do 8, 9, 10 hours and redesign a landscape or a front yard to feel like I've accomplished something. If I've accomplished the thing I want to get done and I've done it, then there. And if it's doing the dishes, doing some laundry and cleaning a bathroom, I have achieved my goal.
Yes, you have. Jenny on the live stream. I used to do it all when I was younger. Now I spread it out throughout the day and the week. I'm tired. I have a life to live and the dishes can wait. Amen. I love that, Jenny.
Do you remember we were getting upset with your parents when they're like, hey, Janie, can you take the trash out? I'm like, why? And then you realize one day, like, that chore took literally 45 seconds.
I just, oh, God, Mom.
Empty the dishwasher. What am I, made
so
of time?
Inconvenient. When we return, we'll wrap up the show with this Shouldn't Be a Thing Buzz Off Edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning 4-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
construction zones, farmers markets, and bike paths to just about everywhere. Madison is quirky, curious, and always on the move. That's why 92.7 WMDX is here, keeping pace with the news, the conversation, and the humor that makes our city tick. WMDX. Radio that sounds like Madison feels.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Mattner on Air. Jane Mattner, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from her home at Radio Park in Racine. You can call or text. The number is the same if you want to join the show at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. One more text I wanted to share. Andrew from Maine, listening on WAUK. Mm-hmm. We were talking about how do you chore? Do you break it down? Do you tackle the whole big thing at once? Andrew says dishes are done most evenings.
Yep.
Laundry, I try to get done on Friday or Saturday. Rest of cleaning is as needed or when I'm fed up with the state of the house. That's kind of where I am.
Or I'll throw another one in. When company's coming over.
That's also another great motivator.
Jenny on the live stream said, and I think in response to my, remember when parents would ask you to do certain chores and you would bemoan them even though they took no time? I don't remember that. I'm an eldest daughter. We have to do everything. Oh, I'm the oldest. I'm so tired of the oldest having their say all the time. The youngest have it the worst.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
We are the most looked over, forgotten about. We can get away with more. But the point is,
I got away with murder.
Me too.
But anyway, we're not talking about
that right now.
We're talking about other things.
What are we talking about, Jane?
Coming up on the show tomorrow, Dr. Kristen Lierley is going to be joining us in hour number two. You may have missed this from last week. America is under-babied.
Oh, well then.
We need more babies. We're under-babied. And he also mentioned last week, of course, that our teenage boys are there. They don't have enough sperm. How he knows this remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about why people seem to be reluctant to have more children and what could be done to actually encourage that.
We're also going to have Dr. Lierley address the actual claim or the actual fact that we have a lower population than needed in this country. I didn't believe that was the case until she explained it to us a while ago. So we're going to have her calmly, logically, and expertly explain it versus just saying underbabied, which is not a word.
No.
And a person trying to be taken seriously should never say.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So that's coming up tomorrow. Also, Deb Cronmiller from League of Women Voters is going to be here. And we're going to talk about redistricting.
Yep.
And the League of Women Voters, what a shock, would like to see an independent group put together new maps.
Yes.
What a crazy, radical idea.
Once again, logical.
Yeah, what a crazy thing. So that's all coming up on the show tomorrow. Yeah. It is 10:55, Kelvin. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Should you ever stumble over a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from Calvin in Iceland Review, which I highly encourage everyone to subscribe to. Iceland Review, Michael Chapman with the byline.
What do you guys talk about? We talk about Iceland.
We talk about rocks.
The
headline reads, scientists confirm first mosquitoes have been found in Iceland. Three mosquitoes have been found in West Iceland. This is the first confirmed discovery of mosquitoes on Iceland in history.
Oh, boy.
The insects were identified earlier this month by Bjorn Haltason.
Good job.
I'll say that really Bjorn. Fast.
Bjorn. Sounds like a car going by fast.
He reported his find on Facebook.
Yeah.
On the Insects in Iceland Facebook group. At dusk, October 16th, I caught sight of a strange fly and a red wine ribbon. I immediately suspected what was going on and collected the fly. It was female. He later captured two more specimens, sent them on to the Institute of Natural History, where they confirmed they were mosquitoes. This is described as significant because mosquitoes are cold resistant.
Yeah.
Now they can survive in Iceland.
Yeah.
Because of climate change.
Climate change, baby.
This is the first time mosquitoes have been found in Iceland, adding that while individual flies have occasionally been found on aircraft arriving in the country.
They're just here for a vacation. They're just kicking back. They want to take in those hot springs.
I want to see how they're hanging on.
I want to see Bjork.
None had previously been discovered outdoors. Scientists have long predicted mosquitoes could establish themselves in Iceland, particularly after the louse fly became established there in 2015.
First the louse fry, then louse fly, then the mosquito.
Then the mosquitoes.
What's next?
I don't know.
I don't actually know what would be next, honestly. Like, I don't know. Wasps? I have no idea what can and can't be there.
We're sorry, Iceland. You had a good thing going for a really long time.
I know that we didn't do... I didn't do climate change, Jane, but doesn't it kind of feel like it's justified that Iceland looks at America and goes, this is your fault.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. They're flying here from you.
Yeah. We can tell because they're very overweight and have no sense of self.
And a strange accent.
Exactly.
That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Check out Iceland Review. You never know.
It's definitely a publication that exists.
That exists, exactly. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media, because without you, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching on the stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a tiny little bit and you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next. Then Tom Hartman takes over from noon to 2. Todd Alba, happy birthday, Todd Alba.
Happy birthday, Todd Alba.
From 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, Pete Schwabe, 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. The government shutdown is now 3 weeks in. Democrats digging in on their demand that Republicans repeal Medicaid cuts and extend health care subsidies that will soon expire, causing insurance premiums to rise for millions of Americans. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
It's not me, him, or anything political. It's that the people are in crisis. Every day they're getting these bills, these notifications of how much they're going to pay.
Trump demanding the government reopen before any negotiations. President Trump is pressing for his Justice Department to pay him roughly $230 million. Sources familiar with the matter say it would be as a settlement for investigations he faced during the Biden administration and his first term in office. Vice President J.D. Vance arrived in Israel Tuesday seeking to stabilize a ceasefire agreement. Vance reiterating that no U.S. troops would be sent into Gaza while expressing confidence in the peace plan. This is ABC News.